2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 15, hear now the word of Almighty God, inspired by His Spirit, profitable for us. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your holy word. We thank you that it is able to make us wise unto salvation. It is able to furnish us unto every good work. So we pray that as we consider your whole counsel, that you might guide and direct us, that we may have an unshakable confidence in your words, given by omniscience, to be received with faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We continue in our Foundations of Faith series, looking at the whole counsel of God. Last time we considered the promised and secured truth of the Scriptures. Christ would send forth the Spirit of truth to His apostles, our duty to receive those writings. We saw that the saints of God have the same Spirit that inspired the Scriptures in their hearts, that there is the archetypal revelation through the prophets and apostles, and there is an ectypal revelation, a copy from that original, that God writes upon our hearts by His Spirit. We saw that our full persuasion and assurance of the infallible truth and divine authority of the Scriptures is therefore from the inward work of the Spirit of God. And we saw our duty to pray that God would open our eyes, that those things revealed outside of us in Scripture might be revealed inside of us by His Spirit. And we saw our duty to take up the Word of God and read it, and to practice it in our lives. Now then, verses 15 through 17, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. First, and that from a child. This word child can mean an infant in the mother's belly, or a little baby in the arms of its mother or its father, a little tiny baby. From that point on, Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Or literally, the Holy Scriptures emphatically, thou hast come to know. This is the perfect tense. Your knowledge was completed in time past and continues on in the same knowledge you had then. This word for know has reference to the mind's eye, perceiving with your understanding, in other words. This is the knowledge he's referring to, a clear sight of something in your head. When just an infant, you came to know and continue to know these things, Timothy. Now, these documents are called Holy Scriptures, and we talked about this once before. There's a word in the New Testament, hagios, which means holy, that which is separate or devoted to God, purified from all uncleanness. That is not the word used here. In fact, this word means those things of the temple, those things that belong to what is sacred. Hiera is the word. It's opposed to those things that are profane outside of the temple. These writings, he says, are those sacred writings kept in a repository in the temple for use in the worship and public ordinances of God. The word hiera, when used as a noun, the holy thing, refers to the temple itself and all the precincts of the temple in Jerusalem. This is the sacred book, the sacred scriptures or writings. And he says concerning these sacred writings, these holy writings, these non-profane divine writings, they are able. And this is what we call the restrictive attributive. The divine, the sacred, holy scriptures, I mean those that are able. Those sacred writings, they have a capacity, they have an ability, they have some divine force to cause them to use that power for a specific end. They can accomplish this task to make thee wise unto salvation. These sacred writings are able thee emphatically to make wise, he says to Timothy. They can give you wisdom. They can make you wise. They can instruct you unto salvation. Would you have saving wisdom? Look to the sacred writings, the divine writings, the holy writings that Timothy knew from the time he was a child. Now notice, these sacred writings, these holy scriptures, having the power of God inherent in them to give wisdom unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the sort of wisdom and instruction that leads unto salvation. There is a particular means. It's not Vishnu. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through the papacy. It's not through any of these other myriads of belief systems. It's through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He is the sole hope for salvation. God and man, Christ, the mediator, the prophet, the priest, the king, Jesus, Savior from his people's sins. Scripture alone gives us such wisdom, which is by faith alone in Christ alone. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. Sola Fides, faith alone. Solo Christo, only by Christ alone. I note then this doctrine. The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for man's salvation is set down in Scripture. The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for man's salvation is set down in sacred Scripture. Not in profane writings, not in those things outside of the divine writings of Scripture, not in the speculations of philosophers, not in the legislations of great magistrates in times past or of phony magistrates in times present. No. Only in those sacred writings they are able to make us wise unto salvation. The wisdom that saves is found in the Scripture. It does not need supplements, complements, or detriments. It is sufficient in itself. It is the whole counsel of God concerning our salvation. Now, what is interesting in this passage is that the Apostle Paul is talking about the Old Testament. How do I know this? Well, Timothy knew these things from the time of his infancy, and the Scriptures were not written until later, after he was an adult, the New Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament was written long before, and his mother was a Jewess who taught her son what? Moses and the prophets. And if this is true of Moses and the prophets, where the light of the gospel is more dim, how much more true of the writings of the apostles, where the light is blaring and clear? Would you know things necessary for your salvation? Would you be wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? Well, then let me tell you, rely upon the divine scriptures, those sacred writings. Trust the promises of God implicitly. Fear will be banished. Faith will triumph. Put your confidence in God's voice speaking in Scripture. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now this phrase, all Scripture, can mean every single Scripture. Or it can mean the whole thing as a unit, and both are true. Is the whole of Scripture divinely inspired? Yes. Is it God-breathed? Yes. Is every single part of the Scripture divinely inspired? Yes. Both are true. Every jot and tittle, as Jesus says. The little tiny letters in your Hebrew Old Testament are breathed out by God and preserved by Him. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word is theopneustos. Theos is God, pneustos is breathing. Like pneumonia is an inflammation of your breathing capacity. Theopneustos means God breathed out these sacred writings. All of Scripture is God's oracle. Every single part, every single verse, every word, every phrase, every figure of speech, every vowel, every consonant, all breathed out by God Himself. And notice, it is profitable for doctrine. This word profitable can mean beneficial. It does good. It's useful toward a specific end. Doctrines are those things which are taught, by which the mind is informed, the will is directed, the affections are inflamed or enlivened. God breathed Scripture. Every single Scripture is useful for doctrine. What are we to believe? What is our faith to be formed by? By the Word of God. Then notice, for reproof. Not merely for what is taught, but for what is proved. Publicly proved, as the word means. Or even to reprove or correct someone who is wrong. The God-breathed Scriptures are profitable for correction. That is where something that is wrong is made right. Something that is out of the way is put back on the way. Something that is crooked is made straight. Correction. And then note, for instruction in righteousness. This is training or guidance toward maturity. Christian instruction, Christian discipline, both the positive discipline of hearing and learning and the negative discipline of correction and the rod. Both it is profitable for. Now, righteousness is that which conforms to God's law. Instruction in righteousness means the training men and women, boys and girls need in the law of God Himself. The Scripture is a sufficient rule in these matters. Now note verse 17. What is the purpose? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why is the Scripture a profitable book for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness? What is the goal that God has in mind in inspiring His Word for those ends? That the man of God may be perfect. In order that perfect emphatically may be the of God man. God's goal is maturity. God's goal is perfection. A full instruction in duty. This is the purpose clause. What is the end, the goal, the purpose? What is the result of God breathing out his Scriptures? What is the end of the doctrine, reproof, correction, and setting to rights? What is the end of all that? Christian perfection. Discipleship to be ready unto every good work. Freiburg says of this word, perfect, able to meet all demands, qualified, fully ready, or perfectly fit. It does not mean, most certainly in this life, sinlessness, sinless perfection. That's not what it means. What it means is a man of God can be fully equipped to meet all the demands made of him by God and by his life and by God's providence. He will be ready for all of those things. Fully ready, perfectly fit. Unto what? Unto all good works, or unto every single good work. There's not one single good work of which one may say, you know, Scripture doesn't have enough instruction for this, enough correction or reproof. You know, there is one thing out here that's a really good thing to do that God said nothing about, that you cannot say that That's the opposite of what is taught here. But you know, that is the human tendency. Yeah, you know, Scripture talks about a lot of good stuff, but it just doesn't address this issue. This issue over here, God never thought about that. So there's nothing in the Bible that covers that. So what are we left with? Our own corrupt thoughts, our own evil desire, our own evil will. Oh, but we're such good people, aren't we? We can come up with good things. No, we're not good people, actually. We are corrupt. And if we would know what are the good works that please God, we're not going to find it by looking inside to the hero within who will speak to you words of affirmation about your wicked heart. God's intention in giving us his inspired word is that we may be able to meet all the demands for every single good work. Scripture has instruction on every good thing we are required to do. There is no doctrine, there is no teaching that God has said, well, I'm not going to give that to them. There'll be some things they'll just have to figure out on their own. No. Every single good work is found within the Scriptures. Then he goes on. Truly furnished unto all good works. Now this word, truly furnished, is the verbal form of the word that we just saw, perfect. That the man of God may be perfect, made perfect unto all good works. It's just a verb versus an adjective. One describes the thing, perfect. The other is an action, being made perfect. Or truly furnished. Here the man of God is perfected by the word of God itself. In fact, this verb is passive. It's done to the man of God, not by the man of God. He doesn't perfect himself. He doesn't make himself perfect. It is the word itself that causes him to be made so. Having been made perfect once for all, and continuing in that state of full readiness, of fitness, of qualifications to meet all the demands by that training in doctrine and duty. What are you to believe concerning God? What is the duty God requires? Where will you find that? In the Word of God itself. I note then this doctrine. The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for man's life is set down in Scripture. Not merely man's salvation. How may I be reconciled with the holy God being a sinner? But also, how ought I to live so as to please God? What are the good works that I should do? The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for man's life is set down in Scripture. Now, our life consists of faith and love. What am I to believe? What is my duty? That's what the Word of God instructs us in, and it is a complete counsel, a full counsel, not a half counsel, not a 99.5% counsel, but the whole counsel of God, 100%. Every single duty, every single doctrine necessary for man to know, to have eternal life, and to walk so as to please God is in the divine Scriptures. Now this stands as a rebuke. All the nice idea-ism by which men are robbed of their confidence in the Word of God. Yeah, it's good for most things, some things, a few things, but not these things, you see. There are some really good works that men have to come up with. Robbing men of their confidence in the sufficiency of God's whole counsel in Scripture. You need a supplement. You must have your unaided human reason, your precognitions. You must have the fathers, the councils, the popes, your visions, your experiences, new revelations, or any other thing. Just don't say this is enough. An exhortation. Let us pray for the Lord to increase our faith in His Word. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, that our confidence would be firm in His Word, that we would apply the knowledge that we have and then be ready to receive more. That is the upward spiral of glory. The downward spiral is reject the word of God, blame your circumstances, continue unrepentant, go to hell. That's the downward spiral of Saul. What's the upward spiral? Do what God commands you, the knowledge that you have. He gives you more knowledge so that you can be more obedient, so that you can know more, so that you can be more obedient. And it goes up to glory. Pray for the Lord to increase your confidence in His word, that you may know it better, more firmly, more thoroughly, more faithfully, more lovingly, and that you would apply what you know so that you may grow in the obedience to His will while then growing in grace as well. Another exhortation is to have our senses exercised. This is what the apostle is dealing with. By being instructed in the God-breathed scriptures, by being corrected, reproved, by having doctrine, all these things, the goal is that you would come to Christian maturity, that you would be able to discern the will of God. What is it that God requires of me in this circumstance or in that circumstance? Well, how will you know? Where is the rule and standard for every good work? It's in your laps. It's right here with us. It is His word. Let us, by God's grace, practically apply the knowledge that we have to the challenges and difficulties of our lives. Not merely hearing the word of God, but doing the will of God, loving God, keeping His commandments, loving our neighbor, seeking the profit and benefit of our neighbor, growing in Christ and seeking for the glory of God, growing to know what is it the duty that God has for me in this circumstance, with this relationship at this time, these things, to do them, we must know the word of Almighty God, His whole counsel for every good work. And thus far, the exposition of 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. Let's pray.